Okay, I won't call this the opening scripture because it'll continue. It'll be more later. So let's call it the scriptures because now they're plural for today. But the first one is from Proverbs 8:21. And you'll see why we need more than one. There's several that connect with this. Proverbs 8:21. And so, you know, I had made mention earlier, make sure your receivers are on. Your phone's off, your receiver's on. Okay? Now, this is the Lord speaking to you. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's a wonderful promise. And I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible too, so it's the same verse. Those who love and follow me are indeed wealthy. I fill their treasures. And so I made a little thing like sometimes when you make a contract, like if you get a new upgrade on your phone or something, there's a terms of agreement, and usually by 17 pages of really sharp attorneys, I don't need to read all of that, you know, I got this, and then boom, you sign it and you find out you got a really bad deal and can't get out of it. So I put it like this: the conditions and terms of this agreement. God wants to enter into an agreement with you. Your receiver's on?
Yeah.
All right, here's the conditions. Love. Jesus must be our first love. In our family, it's Jesus, then my wife, then the children. A lot of houses have a lot of malfunctions because it's not the proper priorities. It must be. All right, that I may cause you to, that love me. So God is going to start working circumstances in your life to honor his contract with you. So Jesus must be our first love. He must be first place before anything or anyone else. It's a matter of priorities. And I know lots of people put their kids first. But that's really not the order. It's a matter of priority. Who is most important in our lives? And so that needs to be settled and established and get comfortable with it. Because if you really want to see the Lord moving in your families more, make sure that you keep that priority. That's really, really important. And follow. He said, those who love and follow me, to obey, to observe, to practice, to act in conformity to the Word of God. In other words, whatever we do, let it be in agreement with the Word. Because one with God is a majority that way, because if you agree with His Word, then you're agreeing with Him as well. It's our duty to follow the commands of Christ. Good soldiers follow the orders of their general. Good servants follow the directions of their master. To be led or guided by. In the New Covenant, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as an example, I came across this nifty little verse in Ezekiel 13:3. It says, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Because that's what happens. If you follow your own understanding, if you follow your own idea of what it's all about, you and your vision or your idea, and you're not really following after the Holy Spirit, you make your own plans, you do your own thing. This was in a series of verses, but it says, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit. Don't follow your own heart. You'll err. those who do that will have seen nothing. You will see nothing. Nothing of the Lord if you're following you and how you feel. Never follow your feelings. Because it's part of dying to oneself, if you will, our ideas, our grandiose plans that we make. It's good to seek the Lord about timing and purpose and things in our lives, not just to live haphazardly and without some manner of structure, because God's not like that. God is very orderly. He doesn't do anything out of order, maybe out of our order. He comes in order to our disorder, doesn't he? Yes. And so now the promises. God causes us to inherit substance. He causes us to prosper. And he told Joshua this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, this is one of the conditions, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And I made a little note about this because when Faith and I first got saved, we heard a large portion of the prosperity gospel. And it is true. God does want us to have these things. He wants to provide them for us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to have good success. I never found any place in the Word where God doesn't desire those things for our lives. One of the biggest things he wants, though, number one, is our heart. So that when he instructs us in the Word, we kind of have a direction book, like I can just pick it up and say, oh. And it's not about amassing the balance of this. We have to be wise and keep these things in balance, because many of the people that went to India and preached the prosperity gospel, the full extent of it, to where God's going to pour riches and gold and all this stuff out of heaven for you, and you're never going to be poor, you're never going to have a bad day, nothing's ever going to go wrong, and all of those things are part of that. But we need to be attentive and not take that out of balance, and we learned that early in our faith walk. I can tell you, we've prospered now way more than we ever did before we were saved. We have much more substance than we ever had before we got saved. So if you look back in your life when you first started your faith walk, you should see an increase. But the way it was taught was that you can have it all and you can have it now. So people in India that are in ministry, they look at others, and you have no ministry if you don't have a chauffeur-driven, air-conditioned vehicle to be driven around in. And Wayne can tell you about that. The pride that brings, I can't speak for other places, but I've been there lots of times, and it has ruined a lot of ministries because they got their eyes focused on the riches instead of on the one who provides them. It's about staying focused. It's about taking scriptures in balance. He does want to prosper us. But you saw the conditions. And they're very clear. So we are blessed. We're blessed for success. God didn't get us born again to fail. He wants us to win. He says we're overcomers and more than conquerors. Those are all part of prosperity. Those are all part of the substance of our walk. And we should see that fruit in our lives. Sometimes you might have to look back to see where it started, but it progresses throughout our lives. He brings us to a better place than when we started. And that's the truth of life in Christ. He brings us to a better place now. And We Pentecostals, we have such an exuberance of joy and peace and knowing all these things. It's a quality of life that it exceeds anything that you could ever have in this life. And we're the people who people are afraid of sometimes in the church community or the religious community. I'll rephrase that. Not Jesus's church, but the religious community. And they mock us and they make fun of us. And they call us the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it bunch. Well, I name it and I claim it because Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, you shall have it. Whatsoever you say and believe in your heart, whatsoever you say, you shall have it. So I name it based on the word, and I claim it and start thanking God for it. Blab it and grab it. Speak it and receive it and walk it out. So let them, don't be surprised if you haven't been fanaticized by part of the religious communities around us. The guy that used to paint the sign out there, the letters for us, when those letters start falling off and I can't repair them anymore or find anybody to do it, we're just going to paint it all white and put that church on it. And everybody will know. Radical. But sometimes when you hear true doctrines, and you see God's will clearly revealed, I believe that we have to have an attitude of the balance that goes along with it. Because if you find a blessing in a verse of Scripture that God has for you, usually if you back up a verse or two, or maybe even to the first part of a verse, you'll find a condition that goes with it. Generally speaking, there's promises and there's conditions. It's just simple to me. So this is really pertinent because we all, there's so much more. There's so much more to our faith walk than what we're seeing today. I desire the more, but to see the more, I have to know there is more, and I have to release my faith that I will see it, that I'll receive it. But I need to be attentive to my calling. You, the same for you. We all do different stuff in the body of Christ. But one of the things is to cooperate with the conditions, and you'll see more manifestations of the promises. It's just the truth. And I might as well just finish it. It's early. You know, we're not going to eat downstairs today. Matthew 6:33. In the middle of a chapter, Barbara talked about worry and fret. She didn't know I was going to read this verse today. I didn't call her up and tell her. So once again, the Spirit connects things among us, and that's really, really kind of cool how He does it. This is to the worriers, the ones that fret about what they're going to wear today, what they're going to eat today. And Jesus said, you don't see the birds worrying. You don't see the squirrels worrying, except they might worry if they don't get to the bird feeder before the birds do. There won't be anything left for them. But they don't toil, they don't labor, they don't work, they don't strive. All that fretting about all of these things. And Jesus said, all the unbelievers quibble and fight over that stuff, but you belong to your Heavenly Father. And here's what he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, there's the condition, and the promise, and his righteousness, that's another condition, and all these things will be added unto you. So even Jesus preached this, what was spoken in Proverbs. That's a wonderful promise. And then the last one I had was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 9. So we're going to do a little Bible walk this morning, but Joe was very lovingly put those all up there, and I thank you, Joe. It's really a big help when, you know, some of us that speak have scriptures and we're going someplace with them, and I know they might be different translations that you have. I have this one in the NIV. Now this is, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've heard people actually preach sermons on the first part of that. No eye can see, no heart can understand.
His mysterious ways.
Yes, God's mysterious ways. And you can never know. Every day you get up and you have no idea. God, did you die last night? I'm not seeing you. And they never talk about the next verse. Because they, once again, it's balance. Okay? That's why I don't like coming with just one verse. Because I don't want to make a church doctrine out of one verse of scripture. I think that's very risky. I want it to be balanced. God confirms his word through his word. And all of us that study and we read and we prepare to bring things, it's really important to bring that balance so that I don't stand up here and just tell you a big story based on one verse of scripture. I like to try to bring you different viewpoints from the word, but it all confirms that word so that you can go home with that and put it to practice in your life, and it's amazing, you'll find out it works. It's part of our learning as believers to help each other along the way. So the next verse says, but God, look at that. Somebody like to read that with a nice loud voice? John, would you read that?
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen. See, that means we don't have to be ignorant and unable to learn or receive about them. See, some people preach the first verse and make it a big mystery so that, well, you can't ask God for that. You know, where do you think you're going to get that? He reveals them to us by his Spirit. But if people don't believe much in the Holy Spirit, you're really tapping out of, yes, Genevieve.
What chapter was that?
Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. But they start with verse 9, and then make a whole big sermon around that no man can know, no one can see. But remember the prophets back in Ezekiel? Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. The significance of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is more than we could spend it, and we will, the rest of our lives knowing how powerfully he's enabled us, empowered us, indwelled us, rescued us, delivered us, saved us. I don't have to see that with my eye. I don't have to believe that with my own understanding. God said it, I believe it, and it's settled and established inside of me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has revealed these things to us. So I started out that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The greatest treasure is all the things that God has revealed to you by his Spirit, and you will find that he is the fulfillment of all of your substance and all of your treasures. The greatest treasure is him. And that's part two. Now, we can huggy break, have some more music, some more praise, and just enjoy the rest of this beautiful day the Lord has made. And hopefully, you can grab onto one of these and maybe take it home and study it a little further, because God has so many promises. And I won't say like the foolish prophet that, oh, you can never know. Because you can. The Revelator lives in you.